valley and mountain, river and plain, through wind and storm, rides Anne of the Airlane.
In order to answer a call for assistance from a castaway on a small sandy isle off the coast of South America near the equator, Jack Baker was faced with the problem of freeing a landing gear that had become stuck fast with asphalt, picked up in a forced landing near the famous Lake of Pitch in Trinidad. Other methods failing, Jack took advantage of the intense heat of the tropical sun and turned the ship upside down until the heat softened the pitch and the gear could be lowered. Then landing with his passengers and Burton, our heroine, and the two diamond smugglers, Vic and Joe, with whom Jack pretends to be working, they find a man almost dead from thirst. But when they attempt to draw water from the ship's tanks, they find that the contents of all three containers have been spilled while the ship was inverted, and not a drop of water remains with which to allay the stranger's suffering. Will Jack and Anne find water in time to save the unfortunate castaway, or will their daredevil flying with the huge transport have been in vain? As we look down on the small island, we find Anne, with the professional touch that comes from her training as a nurse, timing the pulse beat of the stranger.
What does it look like, Anne?
His pulse is growing very weak, Jack. If we don't get some sort of liquid down his throat in a few minutes, I'm afraid there's not much we can do.
Gee, if we just hadn't used up that last bottle of coffee.
Why don't we load him in the ship and try to make land somewhere, Jack?
You saw what that coastline looks like, Morgan. We haven't a ghost of a chance landing anywhere along there. Before we could get to someplace, well, this fellow isn't going to last much longer. You sure there's not even a drop of water in those tanks, Joe?
Yeah, they're so dry they're nearly dusty. I thought maybe someone would stick in the top somewhere when it ran out. But it must have run out the ventilators. We had them open, you know.
If you hadn't tried our stunt flying, Baker, we wouldn't have drained those tanks.
And if you'd screwed the tops on tight when you filled them in Florida, the water wouldn't have leaked out. If you had any better idea about getting that gear loose, why didn't you say so?
All right, I'll admit I was a bit careless about those caps. But who would expect a plane like this would be flowing upside down?
There's not much use arguing about it now. Don't you suppose there might be a spring on this island, Jack?
Not a chance. This is just one of those sandbar things that bob up in the shallow portions of the ocean. Any water you get would be salty anyway.
And there ought to be some way to strain the salt out of this seawater. Anyhow, it would give this guy a relief for a while.
Oh, gosh, no, Vic. You ought to know better than that. Haven't you heard about shipwrecked sailors that tried to drink seawater and instead of it doing them any good, it just makes them crazy and they die anyhow?
If we had one of those small stills, we could distill some of the seawater. But you say you never stowed away one of those, Joe?
Nope. That fellow back in the Everglades tried to sell me one of them, too. But I just thought he was trying to kid me, and that it was just something he couldn't get rid of to nobody else.
It wasn't, but then you didn't know that. But we're not leaving Cape St. Roque for any Atlantic hop until we get one of them, I can tell you that. But that's not doing us any good, nor this chap either.
I wonder how he came to be here in the first place.
Maybe he got washed overboard from some boat passing by.
No, he hasn't been in the water. His clothing would show it if he had.
And it's a cinch he didn't get marooned here from a little boat of some kind. Unless the boat floated away again.
How about that stuff he was burning? That might have been the boat. Maybe he got stove in or something like that, huh?
No, that was nothing but just a lot of driftwood with a few old timbers of some kind.
He's a well-dressed chap to be marooned like this. That thing he was waving when we spotted him looks plenty expensive.
Oh, you mean that sash? Yes, it's heavy silk and embroidered. Some initials on it, too.
Well, what were they?
L-A-C. I've got it under his head with your jacket. There are the initials. See, Jack?
It's Gosh, ain't those the things them Spanish noble guys wear?
Yeah, this guy's no tramp. And that's just a good reason why we better be taken off from here, either with him or without him.
But it's at least 2 hours to the nearest place that we could take a chance on landing, as I figured. And in that time, this chap could...
We better take a chance on that than sitting here, hoping it'll rain or somebody will drop a barrel of water. And if this guy is really somebody, there's going to be somebody looking for him. And personally, I don't want to explain to anybody how we happen to be here, especially if he should happen to
I think Vic's right this time, Jack. We can't do this poor fellow any good here, and we might be able to get somewhere where there is water before it's too late.
Oh, I guess that's right. But I'd sure like to have a chance to look around and see just how he happened to get here, how long he's been marooned like this.
I think maybe this stick will tell you part of that, Jack. It was stuck in the sand over there, and it's got 5 new notches on it. I guess maybe he was trying to keep track of the days.
Sure looks like it. Well, I guess you're right about it, Morgan. We'll load this fellow in, and we'll land the first place that looks like there'd be water. He might need a doctor's care, too.
I think it's mostly exposure, hunger, and thirst, Jack. Water is the first need.
Okay, let's see if we can get him in. We could get something out of the compartment and make him a sort of a pallet on the cabin floor. Have a look, will you, Joe?
Yeah, there's some of those air mattresses in there. Boy, it's like a baked oven in here. Hand me a flashlight, will you, Vic?
All right. You've always got to have someone wait on you, Joe. You never think for yourself. Here you are.
Here they are. I'll have one out in the jiffy, and then we can blow it up after I put it in the cabin. Boy, but it's hot. I'm getting thirsty myself.
And you'll be a lot thirstier before we get to water. Throw that thing out here. Yeah, how do you blow this up?
Good old lung power, Morgan. Better get it in the cabin first. It'll be easier to manage that way.
Come on. Give me a hand with this thing, will you, Joe? I'm getting sort of dry myself.
Well, we'll be getting away from here in a minute or so. Sure lucky this island is no longer than it is wide. You wouldn't have room enough for a run. Still feel his pulse, Anne?
It's steady, but very weak, Jack. But we may make it. At least I hope so. Jack, am I seeing things, or...
Or what, Anne?
It may be the heat is sort of getting me, Jack, but look at that water line over there. Isn't it much closer than it was when we landed?
Your eyes are just playing tricks on you in the sun, Anne. It couldn't be any.
Oh, no, but it is, Jack. It must be 200 or 300 feet closer than it was.
Say, it is closer. The tide is coming in, and fast, too.
You don't suppose that it will cover so much that we won't be able to take off, do you, Jack?
I don't know. But I'm going to take a look over that high spot there where this fellow had his fire. It looks like it might.
What's the matter? Jack see a boat or something?
No, Joe, but the tide's coming in, and Jack's not sure that we'll have enough room to take off.
You mean that the ocean is coming up over there?
The ocean has come up over this island so far that we don't stand a chance in the world of getting this plane in the air. There's not 200 feet of land the other side of this high spot.
And the way it's coming up, it won't be long before it's all over the place. And where will we be? Can't we take a chance on getting through that surf?
Hardly. That water out at the other end is probably 5 or 6 feet deep right now. But it won't cover the entire place. You can see how far up the tides usually come. This fellow had his fire on about the only spot it doesn't cover.
But what can we do, Jack?
Nothing much we can do, except wait for the tide to turn.
And that will take how long?
I don't know much about tides, but it seems to me that we've hit here just a few minutes before high water. You can see the marks there in the sand. There are 2 tides a day. That is, it's approximately a little over 12 hours from one high water to the next. That would make it about 6 hours to low water. But we can probably get enough land to take off from in a couple of hours.
But, Jack, 2 hours before we take off. Maybe 2 hours before we can get to water. This man is in a desperate condition. We've got to do something before then.
I don't know what it would be, Anne. We'll just have to wait and hope that he pulls through long enough.
Sure looks like the poor guy is getting a tough break all the way around. First no water, and now too much of it.
Just about right, Joe. But that seems to be the way it is.
Well, how about this ship? Will it be in the water? We better get busy moving it before it's too late to do anything about it.
No, the ship's safe enough. The water only comes to that mark over there. There's not a chance of any waves, not a cloud in sight. And the water's as quiet as a mill pond. We might put this chap inside the cabin. It's cooler in there. Then we'll be all ready to take off the minute the tide goes down.
Wait a minute. I'll give you a hand. Oh!
Handle him easily, Joe. It wouldn't take much of a shock, no.
Now, I got him up there. Climb in, Joe, and help me, will you? That's it. Now, we'll put him on that mattress.
It does seem such a pity, Jack, that there's nothing we can do for him. If we only had just a little water, just enough to moisten his lips.
There isn't a thing we can do. Not until we can get away from this place, anyway. I think I'll take a turn around what land there is left and see if I can find anything that might tell us something about this fellow.
Don't mind if I go with you, do you, Baker?
No, come on, Morgan. I just thought we might get some idea as to why this man was unloaded here.
Now, what makes you think he was unloaded here, as you call it?
Nothing in particular. Just general appearances, I guess.
For instance?
Well, his clothing shows that he isn't the type that would go out boating in the ocean by himself. No sign of grease or oil that would indicate a motorboat. And certainly no calluses on his hands from rowing a boat.
Now, some of these South American playboys get quite a kick out of sailboats, you know.
And those things make rough hands, too. Nope. This fellow was brought here and then marooned. Say, Look at those marks over there on the sand. You see them?
Yeah. Somebody landed a boat there. Ran right up on the beach with it.
Not only that, the same boat's been here several times, and always at high tide. Any other time, the water would have erased the marks.
Hey, you're right, Baker. You wouldn't make a bad detective. Yeah, it looks like it's been here at least four times.
And according to that stick he notched, he's been here 5 days. That means someone has been here to see him every day.
Maybe brought him food or something, huh?
No, he's had nothing to eat. You can see that. Whoever came here in that boat came here to taunt him or something like that. Because there are no footprints more than a few feet from the boat, which indicates they went right back. And the broad, round prints seem to show that his enemies, as I suppose they were certainly not South Americans.
Say, Baker, you begin to sound like a mystery story. Ever done anything like this before?
No, but a pilot is trained to observe things and remember them. But what the idea was, or who any of them are, I guess we'll just have to wait until our friend pulls through to find out.
You mean if he does pull through? From what Gorgeous says, if he don't get a drink pretty soon, it'll be just too bad. But it sure was a bad thing for him that he wasn't a fisherman. He could have had something to eat anyhow, huh? Plenty of fish in this water. See him over there?
Yeah, they're coming right in with the tide.
Oh, maybe it's just too bad he wasn't a fish. They don't have any trouble drinking seawater. I'm so thirsty myself, I sort of envy those carp.
Carp? What do you mean, carp?
Why, those fish. They're carp. Look at them.
Are you sure, Morgan? For some reason, those just couldn't be carp.
Hey, look, Baker. I used to do a lot of fishing, and I ought to know a carp when I see one. Come over here and look for yourself if you don't believe me.
Morgan, they are carp, of course. Why didn't I think of that before? Come on, let's get back to the ship.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the idea? You going crazy or something? Hey, Baker.
Joe, get a bucket, quick. We've got water.
Hey, Baker, he's gone goofy. He's had a sunstroke or something.
Here's the bucket, Jack. What do you want with it?
Take it over to the beach and bring back a bucket of water. We've got plenty of water.
Huh? Listen, Jack, you mean that water out there?
Of course, hurry. And listen, we'll get that poor fellow all the water he wants in just a minute. Why didn't I think of that before?
Hey, Joe, I think that he's got Baker. All I said was there's a carp in the water and he gets like that.
Can Vic Morgan be right? Has the intense heat and the long hours at the controls finally caused Jack Baker to become delirious? Does he intend to condemn the unknown castaway to a horrible death by forcing salt water down his parched and throbbing throat? And why did the mention of carp apparently unbalance him? The thrills to come will generously repay us for the hours of suspense through which we must wait until the next chapter of Anne of the Airlines.